Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
Number one on What's Trending, we are awaiting Andy Reid's Monday press conference. The only place you can hear it is right here on 96.5 The Fan. It'll be live here during Cody and Gold. You are not missing any of that. We'll let you know. We'll head out there as soon as he's good to go. But obviously, the Chiefs coming off another loss. They're 0-2, 20-17 loss to the Eagles yesterday. Patrick Mahomes ended up being the leading rusher again for the Kansas City Chiefs. 7 carries, 66 yards, and a touchdown. Travis Kelce led the team in receiving, 4 catches for 61. Obviously had the crucial mistake there on the drop that led to an interception. Stalled out that drive. Harrison Butker also missed a key field goal in the game. We, throughout the show today, talking about how this team is 0-2 and specifically what has to change for that to not be 0-3 or worse over the next week or so.
That's what they have to, 0-3. I'll tell you right now.
The Giants on Sunday Night Football.
I will not be nearly as tempered with my comments if the Chiefs lose to the Giants on Sunday. Next up on What's Trending, most agree now. Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter reporting that Joe Burrow will get a second opinion today, but the most likely outcome for him is that he will need toe surgery to fix his grade 3 turf toe that would sideline him a minimum of 3 months. Do the math on that. That means he would miss the entire regular season with maybe a chance to come back for the postseason, but still a massive injury for Cincinnati, who started 2-0 for the first time under Zach Taylor and got off to a good start. But now Joe Burrow will be out for what looks like a majority of the season, unless his second opinion comes back glowingly, I guess.
Yeah, huge blow. One of the top quarterbacks in the NFL suffering. It's always, everybody says the same thing. It's like turf toe. It sounds like such a minor injury, but no, it can be multiple months.
Can't push off.
Grade 3 strain for the quarterback. Tonight we get 2 Monday Night Football games. The early one, Bucks Texans in Houston. That's a 6:00 kickoff. The late game is an AFC West showdown between the Chargers and Raiders. This one in Vegas does not kick off till 9:00. They switched
so
up the
late.
Way
I kind of liked when it was half and half, like 6 and 7:30.
I think it depends on your people's work schedule and everything. We were talking about with Dusty earlier today. I actually like the start like this. I hated when both games would be starting within 20 minutes of each other and you're trying to watch both at once kind of thing. I like the fact that one's at 6, one's at 9. Basically, the game.
I don't want to be up until midnight watching football.
Yeah, well, if the game's not good, I won't stay up till midnight either. But, like, you know, Monday Night Football, normally if it was just one game, wouldn't get over until probably 10:30 or 11 anyway. So I like the fact that we get to do that. Now, I wish the Chargers-Raiders game was the first game, to your point, about the timing of it. But big game in the AFC West.
Next up on What's Trending, the Royals get a 10-3 win over the Phillies last night. Obviously, still 6 games out of the wild card spot. Oh, they played themselves out of that over the weekend and late last week. Just give you an update on where they were. Noah Cameron was good in the start yesterday, and Jack Caglione got his first home run since returning to the big league roster in the game last night. But the Royals did win 10-3, but they're still 6 games. I mean, they're not winning every game out, and even that wouldn't necessarily get them in the playoffs.
So. The Mariners aren't even in a wild card. The Mariners are leading the AL West now. The
Astros are the second,
the Mariners, who they'll have a 3-game series with coming up. That's not they could sweep them. It doesn't even guarantee they would gain 3 games.
Because starts up tomorrow.
They have the Astros now. It's unfortunately over for the Kansas City Royals. They did also have some organizational awards today handed out. This goes back to, remember, the minor league system and everything. Uh-huh. So Carter Jensen was the player of the year in the organization. David Shields, the young pitcher who's still in Double A, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't even think he made.
They
his
make it as
A
ball still.
He's like
19
like
years old.
I was like, he's like 18 or 19 years
he's
old.
He's pitched very well, but he's at still low levels of the system. Yeah,
he is 18 years old. He's not even 19 yet. He didn't even. Yeah, he was an A ball for a huge chunk of the year. He was excellent in A ball for what it's worth. You want to talk about a kind of guy that a team will call on when you ask about?
He just turned 19 last week.
Oh, okay. I apologize. So 19 spent his entire 18-year-old season in A ball. He might be one of those, if the Royals don't move him, which I don't know that they would. I'm just saying, like, you know, for the outfield or whatever they need.
No.
He is one of those, like, gonna make it to the big leagues at 20 David Price types at this rate. He'll probably start in Double A next year at 19 years old. If that season goes really smooth at 21 or whatever, he'll be, you know, 2021, he'll be very seriously looking at, you know, the majors.
We're going to hear from Andy Reid in just a couple of minutes. Don't forget, though, on Mondays, 30 Hop, our Monday lunch partner on Cody and Gold. Today, $5.99 classic burgers. Whether you're going out to Lee Summit or the location just down the street from us, their brand new location in Merriam Grand Station, 30 Hop, it's your new go-to, an American bar and kitchen with those bold flavors, local taps, expansive patios, and an unbeatable happy hour. Stop in for lunch, stay for happy hour, 30hop.com. That's 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, big patio.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll do a little stock up, stock down. Doesn't have to be an individual team. We will look at some of the players in that as well. Hell, we go off of sports every once in a while, I won't say.
Yeah, it could be stock up for a lot of things.
You know, could go anywhere, you know. Stock up, stock down could apply to a lot of different things. I think it'll be mostly NFL this time around. But yeah, I just, the more, and someone asked earlier, we're going to take more calls later. We'll try to.
Yeah, 1 o'clock hour maybe.
913-586-7965. We don't often take calls on this show, but we understand that, like Golden mentioned, this is kind of a unusual territory for the Chiefs, obviously starting 2-0 and not in a position that they're accustomed to or probably comfortable in, knowing that this is not a way that they have started at any point in their franchise's history. So I don't know, man, it's been a weird couple of weeks in the NFL because I can't, the first week Drake May looked bad, looked awesome yesterday. Then you've got like, you've got different quarterbacks moving around. It just doesn't feel like the league's settled in yet. The only team I feel like I know is good is like the Packers. They seem to be the one team that I'm like, yeah, they've made two pretty good offenses look pretty bad or mediocre, and their offense is still scoring. It's like the one team that I feel like I got a handle on.
Well, because they're firing right now on all cylinders, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, that's the key. You know, if the Super Bowl was this weekend, the Packers would be favorites and people would be picking them to win. But as we all know, like that's something that is such a long ways away. Injuries come into play and all of that. But yes, out of the gate, out of the starting gate, the Packers look like the best team in football. I would agree with that.
It's
might be at the end. And I mean, that's a very real possibility. But we just know this is such a long game, I think, in Kansas City in particular. I'm not just saying that because the Chiefs are 0-2. We had this conversation in years in which they got off to like 4-2 starts, and people were freaking out about, though, they don't look like this team doesn't look like they can win a Super Bowl.
Last year's team was like 8-1, and people were worried about it.
2 years ago, they lost that game on Christmas Day to the Raiders. They looked like complete horse, you know what? And they also went on to win the Super Bowl. So it's a long haul. There's plenty of issues with this team. If the Super Bowl was this weekend, they would be absolutely screwed. Well, they wouldn't be in the game for starters, but they would be absolutely screwed. But they have, for the next 3+ months, time to get this thing figured out. But at the same time, I think we acknowledge you do have to start winning some games at some point.
Yeah, we don't
get
it.
And it better
like
start on Sunday against the Giants.
Like, not like it has to. The Giants and the Jags games are absolute highest possible order must-win football games. And then I would argue that you have to win one of the two against the Lions or Ravens and just get to 3-3, get your damn players back, and then we can start evaluating this offense on its merits and what it's supposed to be going into an NFL season. Same problem applies. And then, like, some of this is, like, I get mad at the players who are on the field, right? But at the same time, it's also like, I get mad at a guy like Rashee Rice for the same thing. Why'd you have to make such a boneheaded off-the-field decision? You're actively, and I told you this before, you cost this team games. If Rashee Rice is on the field yesterday, Gold, all things created the same. Do they win the football game? And the answer to that is probably yes, they do. If you just simply put Rashee Rice on the football field yesterday, they win a football game. Maybe not the
or
first
one.
Well, yeah, but
I don't
got
think
far
they
behind in
game,
that one. Whatever, I won't give them that one.
I don't think game one, because that game the defense was atrocious. This game the defense was pretty darn good. And so this game, I'm with you. I don't think I could say that would have swung the first game.
No, I agree with you there, which means, so you should be at least, and that's the whole thing. The whole thing about this game is, had they just found a way to scratch out, we come in here and you're like, phew, you know? Yeah, that's a tough Eagles team, but you got to win. Ooh, good for everybody, right? Oh, well, that they looked kind of weird and the offense still isn't right. They'll solve it eventually. But because they lose that game, now you know you're on, not death's door, it's two games into the season. But now you know you're in must-win territory against a Giants team for whatever reason. Russell Wilson decided to go off for yesterday, which, I mean, I guess means we're not getting Jackson Dart.
450 yards he had.
That game was
crazy,
wasn't it? We can talk more Russ later in the week. That game was crazy, wasn't it, Gold?
Wandale Robinson on a deep pass as well. I mean, it just,
was 120 yards.
And Aubrey made that kick look way easier than it felt like it should have been. That was just a crazy
how
game.
Many times over under, I don't know what the line should be set out of, times Chris Collinsworth says Moonball.
Over under six.
Well, six? That many times?
All right, 4.5. Would you take the over?
I might take the over at 4.5.
Disgusted at taking the over.
The reason I ask is because I know it bothers you, Cody, because the fact that he played so well. And,
up with a new piece of commentary.
And on two of those throws, they were legitimately
One was an interception, though, too.
Yes.
One was an interception. So it worked until it didn't work at the end.
Honestly, I do kind of wish Mahomes would put a little more air on his deep passes. That one to Thornton, it looked like he was trying to throw
a line drive.
He thought he was trying to throw it through a brick wall. There was no one by him.
That was
who are you throwing that past?
Yeah, that was one of the worst throws you'll see for a deep ball in the league this entire season. Like, period.
It was genuinely I've seen him make a couple of bad interceptions because players do. It might be the worst throw I've seen him make as a pro. Because, like, at least when you're making a contested throw or you miss a middle linebacker, there's some logic in it. Oops, I didn't see the underneath guy, and I threw it right to him.
He didn't get hit as he threw it either.
Things happen. He was standing in a clean pocket with a guy 50 yards down the field who was standing. The closest defender was no closer than 25 yards away from him. And he missed him, not by a little. He missed him by a good 15 yards. That ball, he couldn't rock it up his ass. He wouldn't have caught that thing. Like, I was like, what happened on this throw? And go to your point, they did score a touchdown later on that drive. But
it
still had
about
an impact.
40 seconds or whatever it was, yeah.
And seeing how they knelt it out after one first down, feels like those 40 seconds might have mattered. You might have had a chance to get the ball back down three.
That's the only thing
I
will say.
You don't onside kick it. It changes everything.
Look, the offense is a complete mess. We all agree. And there's so many different things that go into it as we've tried to lay some of it out. I will say the Tyquan Thornton element, if there's one thing that, you know, besides just getting Worthy and Rice back, that could give you some hope if you're looking for it on a Monday after an 0-2 start, is that in both games, they've gotten Tyquan Thornton open, I think, three times, maybe four times down, like considerably
covered,
down the field.
Some were like he was open.
Yeah,
he was open on that
that's
touchdown.
What I'm saying. Like, so they've been able to scheme him open three times or so in two weeks. They obviously did not connect on the one you just got done talking about, but that's the only thing that it feels like once a game, and that's basically all you're asking from him, by the way. Once a game, one catch, 40-yard touchdown. Like, that's basically
what
you're asking.
MBS was supposed to be, essentially.
Yeah, sure.
I do feel like they're going to have,
that's promised.
Once a week, he's going to have an opportunity down the field, pretty darn open, to get one to Thorne for a touchdown.
Maybe he'll dial it in eventually, because he's been so bad in the deep passing game, but they also haven't been taking those shots for years. So some of it is like a reflex. I'm just like, he's not hitting those very well.
As we wait for Andy, somebody texted about this, and I mentioned this, texted it to you guys as well yesterday. Somebody mentioned...
you thought Mahomes should get benched?
No, I didn't say that. Oh. So, nobody on the text line said that either. They said it seems like there are far more tip passes lately. Is that an O-line issue or a pad issue? I texted you that yesterday. There have been four or five tipped passes. And
they
train you
how to knock the defender's arms down. That's an offensive line issue. It's not Patrick Mahomes' fault.
Correct. I agree with that.
It only ends up being the quarterback's fault when you're short.
I think I've noticed it. We'll see how it carries on, you know, against the Giants, who have a good defensive front, and the Ravens as well. But I wonder how many more times it happens before it really becomes like a not alarming thing, but it's mentioned a little bit more, because I think it's happened at least four or five times through these first two games. Like Tyrre Tart, of course, he punched basically open hand, punched Travis and should have been out of the game. But afterwards, he had two tip balls that were big for the Chargers in that first game, and then there were two yesterday, or one yesterday, I can't remember, but there have been a few.
Typically it's the offensive line fault. Your coach, that when the ball's coming out like that, that you're supposed to get your defender's arms down. It just happens sometimes, though. Like, that's just part of,
I'm not saying I'm blaming anybody, but it's just been more noticeable, because they're on plays that, for all we know, it's a completion, it's a first down, whatever.
It's noticeable because, as we said to start the show today, I mean, every single yard is it's like pulling teeth, man. It is just brutal. I mean, they are working their ass off just to get 5 yards, to get 3 yards. It is a grind for them to do it. So, every play where you realize, he would have been open for 10 yards, like, finally, and then it gets batted down. It's just so deflating, because it's not often they've been able to get guys open in space in this offense in the last calendar year. And I think it was the Noah Gray would have been open for a first down. At least it looked like a first down.
He was
down.
Very open. So
and he was crossing across. I mean, I'm guessing it's a 15, 20-yard game. And it gets batted down. And it's just like so deflating, because it's not often they've gotten those opportunities here recently, going back to last year as well.
It is. I do genuinely miss like watching, because like this is what most NFL games look like, in fairness. Like there's a lot of bad quarterback play in the NFL, so a lot look like this. I genuinely miss watching the offense and feeling like I'm watching something different than the way the rest of the NFL watches, where like at times it looks easy and free flowing and there's offense. Every drive that they score a touchdown on is 12 plays for 64 yards. I mean,
7 minutes, yeah.
And 7.5 or 9 minutes. Every single one looks the same. Because we pointed out the play earlier. The drive that they missed the fourth down conversion, they had 3 completions for 9.5 yards. They couldn't even get, they completed 3 passes and couldn't get 10 yards. 10? They couldn't get 10 yards? And one of them was because this is like a small throw that nobody will remember. One of the reasons they didn't get enough yardage is Mahomes threw behind Kareem Hunt. And he was slow getting out to the edge because he's slow. But because Mahomes didn't make a particularly good swing pass, Kareem Hunt only got a couple. And it should have been like 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. And instead it was only 2 or 3.
Was that the one where Hollywood had the mesh route that basically got Xavier hurt as well? Was that the same one?
No.
I don't know.
There was one where Hollywood was a yard short.
And it was just like everything feels so awkward and uncomfortable and slow.
It's a frustrating watch. It's a really, really frustrating watch with this offense, and maybe it gets better with Bryce and Worthy. That's the only thing you can hope for. Against the Giants, I know the Giants aren't any good. Their front is good, though. Like, I expect it to be a game in which the defense is going to have to play great again. And fortunately, you're not playing as good of a team, so maybe it's good enough. I sure hope it is. But like, I don't think the offense is suddenly, we're going to be like, wow, look what they did. Mahomes threw for 380 and it was, I don't think that's what's going to happen on Sunday either. I don't think that's really capable of happening until Rice and Worthy on the field. Now, if Worthy plays on Sunday, maybe that opens some things up and we're having a different conversation, but this is the offense for at least another month, other than Worthy being back in it. If we actually think it's true that he's trending towards playing on Sunday, by the way, you have not missed Andy Reid's press conference. They're running a little late. We're told they're finishing a meeting, going a little late. Lots to discuss after an 0-2 start. They're having a meeting, so Andy Reid will still be live here exclusively on 96.5 The Fan anytime in the next, hopefully, 5 or 10 minutes.
Well, then let's get to a little stock up and stock down. We take a look at this every Monday to decide who, if, team, player, lifestyle thing. I don't care. Stock is up or stock is down. I'll start on the NFL side on one player. It's Indiana Jones. Danny Dimes be dead. Indiana Jones lives.
How about that nickname they already got for him there?
Oh, it's incredible. It's a great nickname. That's why you say it immediately. Mm-hmm. They have not punted yet this season.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense. And I'll be honest, not a believer and was not a believer, as you well know, about the Colts this season. I said, that's a train wreck and it's going to look awful. And I don't have any idea why they're going with Daniel Jones. They should have just drafted a quarterback and figured out something else inside of there. And yet, they have one of the best offenses in football. The question is whether or not they're just the Saints from last year. But right now, stock way the hell up on Indiana Jones and the Colts, man. They got a real chance to win the AFC South.
You guys mentioned the Packers would be Super Bowl favorites in the NFC. The Colts might actually end up right now if you were to pick a team.
Yeah, look, Daniel Jones might be the Sam Darnold of 2025, as in he turns his career around, and good for him if that's the case. I do not believe the Colts will ever be considered a real, real contender in the AFC, but credit to them, they are 2-0, and Daniel Jones looks like a completely different quarterback, and that's good news for Shane Steichen. Very good news.
It's the arrow pointing up, you know?
Stock up for me is the likelihood of a tush-push ban. We're going to talk
that's
more
a buy
about it.
Now.
I think yesterday cemented it. It almost got banned last offseason. Now on a national slate with Tom Brady on the call, the defending champs playing each other, and it was highlighted quite a bit by multiple national personalities, including Adam Schefter, Dean Blandino, everybody looking at the two guards in particular for the Eagles, very blatantly false starting, yet they can't call it because they can't see it. You can't tell where the heck anybody's at on the pile anyway. You can't tell if someone's recovered a fumble or not. It's a play that the Eagles should continue to run until they ban it, and they will, and it's a huge success, and I don't blame them for doing it. But if you are going to allow it to happen and you can't even call the rules properly, though, pre-snap, then what are we doing? So I think this play is done at the end of the year.
I will say, like, if we had some, like, Jim Cramer Mad Money sounds for part of this gold, he'd be telling you to sell it. If you owned Tush Push stock, as in you were hoping this play was going to continue, you should sell the hell out of it. Because, yeah, the ban is going. I mean, I just felt like the way national media was talking about today, we're done. The tush push is going to die at the end of this year. They're not going to try to change it in the middle of the season, I don't think. But at the end of the year, during league meetings, they're absolutely going to bring it up again.
So for me, stock up. My stock up is Tim McMillan. He's off to a really nice start to his rookie season. He's eighth in the NFL in reception yards. He is tied for 20th with receptions. His opening game had 5 for 68. This most recent one against Arizona, 6 for 100. Hasn't got that touchdown yet, but even though the Panthers have seemed to have issues and Bryce Young hasn't looked that great, Tet McMillan is one of the bright spots, that first-round pick for the Panthers.
I do like
stocking
him
up on Tet McMillan.
Xavier Leggett stuck down.
I do like him. McMillan, I will say, though, the Panthers as a team,
they stink.
Yeah, my playoff pick is looking a little.
Are you already throwing in the towel?
No, I'm not yet. Right. I'm going to stick it out. You know, okay. We're all the way to the end.
Who were our like slightly surprising playoff selections? Mine were the Patriots and the Cardinals.
I have the Jags. The Jags winning the South. They should have won this game this past weekend. I have the Jags. I still feel fine about the Jags winning the South, especially if the Texans lose tonight. I have Seattle winning the West. They're in it, but the Rams look really good and they're 2-0 and Stafford's healthy for now.
Yeah,
I guess my surprise would be the Panthers, and then I had the Jags making it too, but the Jags seemingly in that division. I don't know if that's much of a surprise anyways.
Stock down.
I mean, there's a couple of different choices here. I'm going to go with a wide receiver. You'd mentioned Tet McMillan. He was a high top 10 style draft pick, expected to contribute right away. I kind of remember those conversations about Marvin Harrison Jr. He just looks like an average guy. Mm. That's why his stock is down. It's not that he looks like the kind of guy who won't have any impact in the NFL at all. It's that he just looks like he's Gabe Davis, not a number one wide receiver.
Oh, that's tough.
Destined for stardom. I understand he had, what, 5 catches or whatever it was for 71 yards last week.
You're already done with him, huh?
But it's just, he looks
so... He had 2 for 27 against the Cardinals, against the Panthers yesterday.
Against the Panthers. He Quiet just day, yeah. looks so mediocre. Like, he just looks like a kind of a, like a 950-yard wide receiver. Again, not a bad one. But, like, not the explosive guy we're all talking about. People were talking about playing a little bigger so that he didn't have some of the same burst in some of the end zone stuff was the conversation or the commentary. Mm. I'm not saying his stock's way down. I'm not saying, but, like, it's down. It's not like looking like the guy he was before.
Stock down, the third down atmosphere at Arrowhead, as in the PA chain. Stock down. I was sent this video from numerous people throughout the game that weren't a big fan of the old third down change. We know the PA announcer quit abruptly. Last week, we talked about it on Friday. This is what the third down call sounds like now.
From the 19-yard line, it's score!
What?
What do we make of that, guys?
Third!
What do we make of that? All right, we'll talk about more. Andy Reid is at the podium. Unfortunately, bad timing there. Of course, Andy Reid at the podium on a Monday is brought to you by Arvest Bank, believing in the power of serving others.
For you. At this time, but we'll the guys are trickling in now, so we'll get that to you later. As far as the game goes, obviously disappointed that we didn't come out on the right end of it. I thought the guys battled hard and aggressive. I thought in particular defense played very well offensively. We got to clean up some things there in the pass and the run game, and we'll work on that. And then special teams, I thought, for the most part, did a good job. Bucker would like to have the one back, but he came right back and had a nice kick there. So, but we obviously have to improve, and that's our focus. We've got to detail our work. It's my responsibility. I take responsibility for that and for this game with, the aggressiveness as far as the fourth downs go. I felt going into this game because they stay aggressive on fourth down that you've got to match that to some extent within reason. So a couple of those didn't work out, and I've got full confidence we'll get that cleaned up too as far as the execution of it. So anyways, with that, time's yours.
We'll go ahead and kick it off with Pete Sweeney.
He said, I'll have two questions if that's okay. First, just to follow up on the fourth down, you kind of mentioned it was circumstantial for this game, but your tries are up, with the first two games. I was wondering if there was anything with Mike Frazier where maybe you have changed to more of an aggressive book or again, just a small sample size circumstantial.
Yeah, we've always been one of the top teams in the league to go for it on fourth down. So I've done that for years. So anyways, I'd tell you no.
Okay. And then the other one is just considering 0-2. Sometimes, obviously it can get away from you a little bit with other teams that we've seen. I guess just how do you make sure that the room stays together as you approach week three?
Yeah, I trust this group. I mean, this group's a good group, got good leadership, and they'll stay together. It's and they'll work hard on cleaning things up. There's nobody more aware of it than the guys. So and we'll make sure we get back to the drawing board. Like I said, this game here was more on the offensive side, and we've got to take care of that.
We'll go next to Nate Taylor.
Hey, Andy, I wanted to ask you about Josh Simmons in two questions. Just what did you see from game one to game two that you thought was positive? And the other one is we noticed he came off the field for a couple snaps in the second quarter. Just wondering if you could explain what was going on in that moment.
Yeah, he came off. He was dehydrated a little bit, kind of. So they got him fixed up there with some liquids. And then as far as Josh's performance goes, he's getting better. He's had a couple nice challenges here the last couple weeks. I'll have another one coming this week. But I felt like he was getting better. There's some things he's got to clean up and some of the detail stuff within the run game and the pass game protection stuff. But he's I thought he did a nice job of stepping up in this game.
Let's go next to Jesse Newell.
Hey, Andy, you've taken full responsibility for this loss, and you guys aren't about making excuses. You've made that clear. But the broadcast did show a couple times where it appeared the Eagles moved quickly on the tush push. I just wonder if the play is going to stay. Is there anything that you want to see change with the rule enforcement with that?
Yeah, that's a I think it's you know the answer to it, Jesse. I mean, it's if guys are moving early, then you've got to call that. So they'll go back and look at that and see what their evaluation is of it. It could be different than mine. Mine, I felt like the guys were moving. That's why I was griping about it, and on the sideline there. So it's with the officials, sometimes people see things different. So we'll see where it goes. They'll have a chance to evaluate it and I'll be curious to see what the response is.
Go ahead, Matt Derrick.
Hey, Coach, a couple of questions for you. One on the defensive side, when Mike Dana and Christian Fulton go down, you had Ashton Gelati and Noel Williams step in and play much bigger roles than obviously they were expecting going in. What did you think about both those guys and how they performed in those spots?
Yeah, I would tell you, I thought they did a solid job in there. I liked the effort. I liked them hustling, getting themselves to the ball, getting off blocks up front. I thought Williams did a nice job on a couple of the coverages down the field. I thought they're very respectable.
And you mentioned in your open remarks about the execution, and you had said in your press conference yesterday that you called some plays that were available but maybe didn't get done the way you wanted to. Going forward, how much of that is just continuing to focus on execution versus how much of it is maybe changing some of the things that you do or the way you're going about them to put guys in those better positions?
Yeah. So, Matt, there were things on there that I could have called. I was doing that in comparison too. So there were some things that we could have executed better. There's some things that I could have put our players in a better position on. And there's some calls that I could have used that I didn't use. And so I've got to make sure I take care of that part first and then give the guys a better opportunity to do their job.
Let's go next to Sam McDowell.
Hey, Andy. I don't know if you saw this pregame, but sure you've seen it since. Just the players wearing the shirt that said "Free Four" for Rashee. Just wondering your reaction to that, and if you felt that was something you needed to talk to those guys about.
Yeah, I've seen it since. I didn't see it then, but I would tell you, I know these guys love Rashi, and they feel for him sitting out here, you know, and so it's, I think it's no more than that, Matt. I'm sorry, Sam. I just think that those guys, they love the kid and want him to feel part of it in their own way. I really don't think it's anything more than that, Sam.
Let's go next to Todd Lebo.
Hey, Coach. When you guys are a little thin with the injuries and suspensions and things like that, the margins get a little maybe thinner on hitting those big plays. Is it even tougher at that point to both call the plays, execute the plays? I mean, how do you kind of put that part out and just focus on this is what we're trying to execute no matter who's on the field?
Yeah, Todd, I mean, we trust everybody that comes in there. So I'm, and that's the way we approach it. There are no excuses at all for that. You know, and now you're asking me this right after the Rashi thing. So I get it. But that's not how we roll. I mean, it's not something that the guys trust. The guys that are in, they play hard and aggressive and so on. So.
One more left. Go ahead, Todd Palmer.
Hey, Andy, going back to Josh Simmons real quick. I know you probably rewatched the game film with a pretty critical eye, but how much did that effort he put forth on the interception to run down Makuba there stand out to you when you watched that film again?
Yeah, Todd, I'd say that was pretty impressive. I mean, that for a big guy to be able to run like that, first of all, is something. You got a chance to see his athletic ability and body control and all that. You'd hate to have it in that situation for it to show up, but that part was impressive. And just his want to get there, I thought was impressive. A lot of guys would, you know, in this league would stand around and watch as opposed to chasing, and he chased along with the other guys. They just weren't quite fast enough to get there, but he did a nice job with that.
Thank you, Coach. That's all we have.
All right, so that was Andy Reid exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan. It's brought to you by Arvest Bank, believing in the power of serving others. We'll react to a few of the things he had to say coming up on the other side. We'll also talk more about the tush push and what seems to be even more focus on it than ever. Next on...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Cody and Gold. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We will get to the random question of the day in a little bit, but just a few things to react to from Andy Reid there. One on the Josh Simmons situation. I just was more curious than anything. I don't think it's a huge deal, but during the game, we all noticed that Josh Simmons was out for a couple plays. Jalen Moore came in, and like, of course, you know how this is. Like, everybody in the press box is like trying to talk and figure out, like, did anybody see like what's going on? Everybody's like staring, and so you're watching.
It's a huge deal.
You're watching the sideline, and like Rick Burkholder was talking to him, and all this, and we're like, is he in concussion protocol? No, he's not. He's not going to the medical tent. What's going? Then he came back in the game. After the game, really didn't talk about it, and then you heard somebody. I think it was Nate Taylor actually. That asked the question, and Andy said he was dehydrated. I have no idea. I guess it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. All I know is I did not
like
see.
You're not buying it.
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Yeah. So I didn't see a bottle of water handed or anything the whole time. He was just standing there talking to the entire time. If he needed fluids, they sure didn't get him an IV or a bottle of water is all I'm saying, but whatever. It doesn't matter.
Also, why wouldn't, when Josh Simmons was asked about it after the game, just say that?
Yeah, why wouldn't he say you need to talk to Andy about that?
Well, like, again, I don't think it matters. Weird. I'm just saying I'm not 100% buying it, but truly it really doesn't matter at this point.
It's a low impact thing despite that.
Yeah.
So Andy talked about a couple of things. One, and we'll talk about it more tomorrow. I'll just say that another thing I disagree with him on is that or maybe he misunderstood the question. I took the question as, are you being more aggressive on fourth down knowing that you're in trouble? And he's like, we're always one of the most aggressive on fourth down. And that's just historically not been accurate. They've been one of the more efficient teams on fourth down, but certainly not one of the most aggressive teams on fourth down. So that would be.
And this year they are through 2 weeks.
They are. They've had six fourth down attempts so far this season. The one that they gave up the field goal on being the only one so far they've missed. They're 5 of 6 so far in the season, but they have definitely been going for it more. There's no doubt about that. Look, there's some part of like when he's talking about like, I take the blame and all this stuff. And I know that he just does that as part of like normal cover.
Sure.
It's not like he just sits in this room and be like, guys, you did nothing wrong. It's all me. Right. No, there's obviously execution issues because that's the truth. Even more than I can't know if Andy Reid's plan's not working until I watch the players actually attempt to execute what I'm watching. And to this point, the execution of the team has been off. Now, that is on Andy too, in a way. The head coach has to take responsibility.
Right, but when you have a play like Travis Kelce, that's execution. That is on the players 1,000%.
Yeah, Andy called a play that had Patrick Mahomes throw a football to a guy in the end zone that hit his hands. And then it ended up as an interception. That one's not on him. Obviously, one of the bigger part of the conversation, and you know Andy's not trying to get fined, probably likes his money. Keep his dollars.
Who doesn't?
Right? And so he'd like to keep his money rather than do it. But you can hear the same thing we hear, which is people see it different. But let's just be honest. The Philadelphia Eagles, and this is always like caveat for somebody who's going to play this from Philly radio later on their show. I do not blame the tush push for the Chiefs losing the football game. They lost that all on their own, doing lots of bad things. It is also factually correct that they call that play different than any other play in the NFL. They ignore offsides from both the offensive line and the defensive line. They ignore false starts, 3 of which they missed in that game. They don't allow for the play to see its way through, like Drew Tranquil getting a possible strip because they call for forward progress or whatever other things. It can only be a positive. It is refereed different than any play in the game. It is time to get rid of it because you can't ref it. It doesn't allow for it in the sport. It's too complicated to call correctly is what I hear because they don't ever call it. They don't call any penalty on that play ever, Gold. And they're guilty of it a lot.
I think when you have as many national voices, as we mentioned during Stock Up, Stock Down, as many national voices talking about the tush push and that being so blatant yesterday in the game, I do think this is the last year. I already kind of thought that because they were so close to banning it this past offseason anyway. And then now you have this happen on a Fox slate with Tom Brady on the call and all eyes were on it. The other games in the afternoon window stunk. So everybody was watching it play out. And everybody, even those that typically don't like the Chiefs, all admitted, like, no, the two guards were clearly moving. If you're going to allow the tush push, you at least have to officiate it properly. And if you can't officiate it properly, like you were saying, then you need to get rid of it. It's not as simple as like, well, if they just call it correctly, I'm cool with it. Well, they clearly can't call it correctly because it's been happening. You know, what'll be interesting is this week, I think the Eagles play the Rams. So it's a big NFC game, right? I mean, those two teams are 2-0.
They get 2 false starts called.
And so, does the league make it a point? Do we see the spotlight now where there's going to be a big 4th-and-1 tush push and all of a sudden the left guard leans forward and starts to move forward and do they call it or do they let it play out again? It'll be, if I'm Sean McVay, I love the fact that it just happened because now I feel like
say something to rep before the game even starts.
Yeah. And I'm sure every coach does, but now it's even more of an emphasis. So it's one to watch. I just think this is the last year of the tush push. So if you're the Eagles, keep on doing it. It's an amazing play. Its efficiency rate is insane
and do it until they call it.
And they will. And I would keep doing it too. If I were them, it's something that I think will get banned in the offseason.
Look, they're a great team. They've won 17 of their last 18 games. So, the Chiefs weren't going to be able to make mistakes and win that game. And the tush push is part of their success, but certainly not all their success. I don't think you win I think they're 17-1 in their last 18 games. I don't think you go on that kind
They've won. What was it
they
yesterday?
Really are.
They've won 18 of the last 19.
Okay,
they've
so 18
won something like 17-0, and they've won 17 straight, or I don't know, something along
those
lines.
I don't think it's quite, but yeah, anyways. 18-1 in their last 19 games. I just looked it up. 18-1 in their last 19 games. The tush push is certainly not it. But I'll be honest, it was 12% of their plays yesterday. They ran it 7 times. And Gold, it's more back to just like the, do we want to watch and enjoy football? Because we make rules to watch and enjoy the sport sometimes too. And it's not an enjoyable thing.
but it's like, it's not the reason that they lost, but let's also admit that they false started on the 1 yard line on a third and goal. And if it's third and goal from the six instead of the one, that's a massive swing. It is a huge swing on the play. And it's a huge swing in the game. It's not the only reason. The pick, honestly,
sure,
is the biggest reason why they lost the game and a million other mistakes they made. But it's like, it's not that it was a non-factor or had no bearing or could have had a bearing on the game, depending on what they would have called there. They could have still gotten the touchdown.
Quick answer from McDuffie in the locker room after the game. He was asked just about the tush-push play as a whole. A
lot of pounds, you know. You see that O-line. You see the people pushing them. Really, yeah, it's just a tough play to stop. I don't know if there's really anything you can do about it.
Nothing you can really do about it. I will say the Chiefs have done a better job against it than other teams. Now, Chris Jones in his post-game spoke a little bit more about the tush-push and, you know, whether or not players were offsides on the Eagles.
Sometimes can't get them all the calls right. And just because we see it, sometimes the official is 15, 20 feet away. Sometimes you can miss those small things. And we think he jumped multiple times. So an official didn't see it, so it wasn't called. And, you know, we just got to go play the next down.
The smart answer from Chris Jones, who also didn't probably want to get fined with any criticism publicly of the officiating.
You mentioned for like a second ago, Cody, how there are multiple mistakes. One of the things that I saw you had been critical of it as well. There was one moment early in the game where it was third and 16, and Andy decided to do a little running halfback draw with Kareem Hunt, and it got 1 yard, and then Butker missed the field goal.
A lot of coaches do that, though.
The problem was it made it a 59-yard field goal. They'll also give you a 7-yard completion for free.
Yeah.
They'll just give it to you.
It didn't make it. I was really surprised that he just decided to bail and just run it, and then as a result, it bit him in the butt there as well, because the Eagles get the ball at midfield, they go right down the field, and they score. You miss the field goal on top of it. It felt like there were moments that just... whether it's the Kelsey thing, whether it's the tush push false start, whether it's it just felt like there were 2, 3, 4 instances of things that you circle. And it's like, yeah, that completely shifted momentum or gave the Eagles a short field or whatever the case was.
Yeah, that'll cost you
the difference.
That'll cost you a football game when you're playing somebody like Philadelphia. When we've talked about this margin of error thing all day long.
You probably still win.
Yeah, gets quality opponents, playoff teams, Super Bowl champion in this case, the Philadelphia Eagles. You don't necessarily have to be perfect, but. The margin of error, if your offense's margin of error maybe is almost being perfect at a certain extent because of the lack of big plays, you definitely then can't have special teams mistakes as well. And that was what was stunning, too. I know Butker made the great field goal before halftime in week one and the rushed operation. That was very impressive, but missed an extra point in that game. And then he just missed a long field goal in this game to the right. And you have a 3-point margin of victory for the Philadelphia Eagles.
The last thing on the tush push and the other issue I have with it is, it creates an unequal play, as in they can push one side, but we can't push. I'm not allowed to push Chris Jones in the back, right? Like, so you're creating a competitive imbalance on the play. One team gets to shove. The other team doesn't have to shove. They just have to use their natural leverage.
Yeah, we had Ross Tucker on the show. We asked about that. He claimed that they can. Remember that day?
I don't think they can.
That's what we thought.
Well,
Ross Tucker, though, who obviously played in the league, he said, though, that, no, you can do that.
Well, and Bink has mentioned previously that
yeah, he was texting me.
Able to pull. So if Kareem Hunt or if Patrick Mahomes, if they actually ran a QB sneak and or he ran a play, let's just say off kilter, it's a scramble and he gets the ball down to the 3 yard line or something. He can't have a wide receiver pull him into the end zone. Correct? Is that?
Yeah. So
you're not allowed to pull.
Did Bink send you the same text?
I think so. Yes.
Bink is listening. And this is something that Bink has brought up a few times during the offseason conversation with the tush push. And basically you're not allowed to push players down the field, which the Chiefs do a lot. So if they were to ban the tush push we view it as the Jalen Hurts thing, would they still ban, you know, if you're Trey Smith and you're not necessarily carrying a defender, but pushing a defender. I will say this. I swear I saw that in week one, and I don't know if they enforced it. So going back to that, I don't know if they really enforced that. I feel like there were some linemen down the field still pushing 5+ yards further down, and I don't think they threw a flag. By the way, I don't know if I really want them to. I don't know, Bink. That's an interesting thing to watch going forward.
Random question.
Random question today brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Text line 913-586-7965. Of course, always, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. Very active over on the streams today, as you can imagine, as the Chiefs fold 0-2. Very simple. Football-related random question. Not bird stuff, which I ended up randomly talking about with different people at Kramer's wedding on
you
Saturday.
You asked about that too?
Stuff. It came
the
up
the exact
naturally.
Same bird stuff.
Well, yeah. The, you know, whether or not you turn into a bird and then duck anatomy. You know, lots of stuff.
Hopefully you left the duck hopefully you left the duck corkscrew out of it.
But that did come up randomly. This is a sports-related one. Fair foul. Are we okay with the Chiefs players wearing the Free Rasheed shirts?
I was surprised.
It makes no sense. Free him from what?
Yeah, so I was surprised because he's suspended for crimes that he pled guilty to. I would just say I'm surprised. Do I care? No. But I was like, huh, okay.
Free. Is he feeling down about not being with the team?
I'm sure he wants to be with the team. But yeah, the wording was weird. Like, if you just wore a shirt that had his photo on it, okay, fine. The fact that it said, like, free him as if he was, like, wrongfully suspended or something.
Or
that
wrongfully
part.
Accused of the crime he committed.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't really care.
I would say, I think it's in bad taste. Is it like a huge, like, red flag? Oh, no, let's all have a sit down talk and like create. No, but it's in bad taste. He sped. He caused an accident. He pled guilty to the felonies. He's serving a suspension that he agreed to based on those crimes.
Right. Yeah.
Free him from what?
Yeah, just wear a Rasheed Rice shirt next time. If you want to support your guy.
Free
like Tyquan Thorne was wearing it still in postgame too. In the locker room, his shirt was hanging up and that was the shirt he was wearing in postgame as well. So it's fine. I mean, support your guy. Nobody's saying you can't support a teammate. It was just weird. The part that said free, if it just said number 4 and it had his face on it, I don't think anybody was at. That's why I got asked. I think it was Sam McDowell that asked the question from the Star during the postgame or during the presser we just heard.
If you were trying to simply just make sure Rasheed Rice feels good, is still a part of the team, because he doesn't get to start practicing until he's halfway through the suspension. So he can actually be back in the facility in about a week.
Okay.
And so once all that's done and he's back in the facility after the Giants game, he can kind of get used to it and feel like, and he's been not a part of the team for like a year because of the injury. Free Rasheed is insane tone deafness. It's like, what are you doing? Free him from what? The prison of his own making, it doesn't make any sense for the most part. I just think it's in like kind of bad taste. I'm not like greatly offended by its existence, but it is just like, what are you doing? My thing is always like, this is like when bad ideas happen at a corporate level. How? All these wide receivers and tight ends were sitting in a room together. How did one person be like, guys, hey, should we not? Just a quick thought. Anybody voice the like, maybe this isn't a great idea? Should they say free Rasheed? Should it just have a picture of his face? Could we do it in a couple of weeks? I don't know. It just felt so weird. It's very weird. Someone says it's probably because of Jalen Carter
not
getting suspended on the text line.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Someone says free him from consequences? Question mark. I'm just asking if we cared or not. I think people would care less. I think Chiefs fans would care less if they won. I'll just put that out there.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not. I mean, we're talking about it here, but like, I don't even know how many Chiefs fans care. Like, actually, like, I think it's more curiosity than any, like, I was shocked to see them wear it.
Yeah.
Other than that, I really don't have much more to say about it. Like, we don't have to have like a complete like breakdown of the process of who selected the shirt. Like, I felt
it just
like people
like bad decision making.
Fine, you're right.
Yeah, I just don't understand.
Yeah, it just. He's serving the suspension. Okay.
Drew goes to jail for a crime he committed, and we just pop up on the show wearing free Drew shirts, even though he didn't. It doesn't make any sense.
Would you want us wearing those shirts, Drew?
I would appreciate the, support shirt.
That's what it is. They're supporting their guy. That's what it is. Boom. We've nailed it. We figured it out.
What was Meek Mill in jail for when they were all wearing those shirts?
I don't know. All I know is Robert Kraft to help him get out, right?
So. Was it drug possession?
No idea.
I don't remember.
It's kind of on you, Drew. I couldn't remember.
Him and didn't Jay-Z help with that as well?
Yeah, he did. But I mean, he's not. Rasheed Rice is just suspended from the NFL. A suspension he agreed to.
Correct.
I don't know. It's just
that is the random question of the day. Up next, we will talk more about the defense, which did look a lot better, but there's one big issue that still has happened for 2 weeks into this NFL season. And we ran out of time during Stock Down, but I do want to talk more about the change at Arrowhead itself yesterday.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.